We got 8 minutes to get this one in the books.
Oh, let's talk fast then.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to episode 347 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubingen, Germany. With me as always is...
Adam in Vancouver.
British... Yeah, we know. I think if you say Vancouver, people just... That's the default Vancouver.
Not Washington. Isn't
not Vancouver, Washington. No.
Yeah. For all those listeners in Vancouver, Washington, sorry, you're the second... place when it comes to Vancouver's.
Yeah, you're the ones that have to specify.
You're the runner-ups.
Well, okay, you could say it nicer than that. If you want to buy a map, though, do people still buy maps?
No.
I wonder that. You might be right. The map industry must have just crashed, just gone through the floor.
I believe there's. The printers have moved on to other things.
What is Rand McNally doing now?
I don't know. I actually had that thought, though, that I wonder if... Because they still do exist. I mean, you can still find maps and...
I'm a map guy.
Whatnot. But, yeah, I'm just thinking, when I see them, does anyone actually buy those? And could you imagine being at a gas station with a map all pulled out and... sort of saying, I think I took a wrong turn back there somewhere.
In 1979. Yeah. Yeah, that's where. I am a map guy. I don't have any maps. Like, if I'm going somewhere where I do not know, I will print out some Google map stuff. Of course, right. I have that new printer that I bought on Amazon. And if you do buy a new printer or maps on Amazon, click through our site and help us out.
Right.
That's where I'm getting. But generally, we call it Navi here, but you don't really call it Navi.
Yeah, like a GPS.
GPS, yeah. We don't have a GPS map thing. Whatever. I guess it's just called GPS, isn't it? Even though that technically is not really the name. It's just it's now the
technology. Yeah, it's like rollerblades.
Yeah, I'm not gonna. Okay, I'm not gonna be a stickler for it. Point being is we don't have a GPS. Not a fan. Just do not like them. I figure like if they can build roads, I can figure out how to drive on them. I'm all set.
Okay.
And I do like there are times I have to look ahead of time. On the Google Maps and go, all right, here's where I'm going. And then I go there. That's how I do it. And then the good news is the second time I go back, I can just go there. I don't have to look again. I've learned it, and now it's jammed in my own personal GPS in my mind.
That's good. I'm positionally challenged when it comes to north, south, east, west. And
right.
Yeah, the GPS is a great invention for me.
Or the worst invention, because you end up finding yourself driving some drunken idiot home.
Right.
He passes out and you don't know where to, you just drop him in some alley somewhere.
The worst part is I had never been to where we were going. And
yeah. Ironically called Main Street.
Yeah. Well, no, to the address that we were going and never had been from the place that we were coming. So it was a combination of neighborhoods that I was very unfamiliar with, and I had no actual address. That's all I wanted, is an actual address, and you passed out before you could give it to me. All because of your hatred for GPSs.
Also, it wouldn't have mattered. I didn't know the address.
Oh, okay. So you were just going to get us there.
It had nothing to do with my jet lag. It was, whiskey lag.
A lot of alcohol.
Yeah, a little bit of rye lag. However, even if I was sober as a judge, did not know the address. So that wasn't going to happen. I don't operate like that. I operate on a need to know basis. I didn't need to know. I just know where it is.
Right.
So there's that. Point being, if you are getting a new GPS too, click through Amazon, help us out. Click through our site to Amazon, help us out. What's going on, Adam?
I'm still in the same place I was for the last 2 weeks. Yeah. So,
however,
what would you like to know? You ask me something, and I will tell
you. What do you think's going on right now? Just a quick note, at what Adam's hinting to is this is episode 3 of our summer series, which means we've recorded ahead of time, and the episodes are going to be a little shorter than the normal format, just to make up the summer schedule. So this is we're recording second week of August, but this is airing at the very end of August.
So back to school. So
where are you? What's going on?
Getting ready for back to school.
What does that look like? Are you buying pencils?
No. My wife's going to do most of it. She's the academic when it comes to... she's a teacher, so she's mm-hmm. she's into it. She's into that so stuff.
She steals them from the classroom then?
Probably, yeah. No, mm-hmm. she doesn't do that. Frowned upon. But what it looks like for me is I usually take a annual back to school photo, so that's kind of been a trademark in our house every year. You know, the kids, you know, kind of get into their back to school outfit. They usually both get a few new threads and they agree. Usually my daughter is much more agreeable than my son to pose mm-hmm. for the annual back to school photo. So I'm going to do that. On a photography related note, that's what I'm doing right now.
I am doing the same.
Okay.
Because my daughter is going to school for the first time.
So like grade one?
Grade one.
Kindergarten's over.
Kindergarten's over.
Okay.
And I'm not saying it's not a big deal in Canada. It's a humongous deal. They make a huge deal out of the first day of school here. Like, we will chill go for whatever it is, the morning or whatever, in the afternoon, like, there'll be a party. Like, we'll have the... No, for real. Like
a parade.
No. Well, yeah. It'll be fireworks.
Yeah.
No, but the deal is here. They get the little cone. It's a tradition here in Germany on the first day of school. You get a cone, a giant sort of torch looking cone filled with your school supplies. You know, and it's a big deal. Like, oh yeah, I've seen pictures of like my wife's parents, who are, I'm just going to estimate 140 years old. I don't know. I have no idea.
Right.
But I've seen their pictures on it from their first day of school, these old little black and white taken with a brownie camera holding this cone. So that, like, this tradition goes on. And so my wife has already made the one for my daughter like a month ago.
Waffle cone? What's it made out of?
No, it's cardboard and whatnot, but it's all decorated and so I will take a picture of her on that first day with
But I thought you took a picture of her already with a cone. Like a couple of years ago. No, a couple of years ago.
That would be friends of ours' daughter, probably. In fact, I'll bet you that's exactly what it is friends of ours.
I definitely remember a cone picture and you explaining this whole thing. I thought it was of your daughter maybe when she first went to kindergarten. They don't do the cone with kindergarten? Okay.
One time only, and that's
coming up. It was a photo challenge for sure.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. I mean, it probably was. And that would have been friends of ours' daughter, who's probably in grade 4 now or something like that. But the challenge for me is going to be, like, because it's a tradition, because it's, you know, it goes back so many years and everyone has that photo, where do I draw the line? Like, do I... Hey, you know, set up the big studio with 4 lights and do that because it's going to look amazing. No, I'm not going to. Just don't answer till I'm done the question.
Okay. The answer is no.
Okay. But on the other hand, I feel like I can do better than a simple snapshot that's out of focus with tons of headroom.
Right.
So what, you know...
Polaroid. Go with the new Polaroid.
That's interesting.
That would be awesome.
I think I will do that in addition
yeah, to whatever. Yeah, you probably don't want it to be the only version, but I would definitely take that one that you can immediately stick up on the fridge with a little magnet.
Well, yeah, we have a...
We
have one
frame.
Of those fridges that has the stupid cupboard in front of it, so there is no magnets on it. I hate it. I can't, like, come on, Germany, why do you got to reinvent some stuff? Fridge magnets are a thing.
Yeah.
Run with it. Like, now what? Now it's just... And there's so much effort to then cover up the fridge. And nothing wrong with the fridge. The fridge looks fine. You know, fridges... refrigerators are they're a good looking appliance. Why do you have to gussy it up with wood panel? You've opened a can of worms, Adam. You didn't even know.
Okay, sorry, we just got a new fridge, and it's the front of it is stainless steel, and it's not magnetic, so we have to put our pictures on the sides. The sides are magnetic, but the front is not. I do love the fridge, though. So. Right.
Here's the fridge. Here's $400. Keeps all your food cold. Here's the fridge. $600. Keeps all your food cold. Great Brian Regan bit.
Oh.
About from way back in probably the early 90s, late 80s. About fridge salesman. Google it. I'm honestly not even trying to do it justice.
Okay, I will listen to it.
It's a good one. Everybody check it out.
I like Brian Regan.
Yes, as do I. Big fan. He's in Bellingham this week if you want to go check him out. I'm not joking. Yeah. Yeah. So, see if you can get tickets.
Okay.
That's while we record this, not while it's airing. Do not try to get tickets if you're listening to this. So, also, in addition to back to school, I mean, I think both of us just returned from a vacation. And for me, I'm just gearing up. It's always a busy season for me starting in September. Like, it just gets busy all at once. I have a couple of projects that are, like, basically recurring every year. One in September, one in early November. And so they kind of bleed in, and it just... I go from not having a too tight of a schedule to, holy cow, like, everything's happening all at once.
Right.
Which is fine. I know to expect it, and I know how to deal with it. But I'm also trying to build up my workshop downstairs so I can... You know, get busy on building stuff for the house. Cupboards and stuff.
Okay.
Just stuff. And so a lot going on. All right. Reminder, monthly challenge. That'll be for next week. We'll review them. Is the Great Outdoors August monthly challenge. Hashtag that on Instagram with Two Hosers monthly challenge, and we will take a look.
Okay.
The end. That's our 8 minutes is up. Have a good
All right. Good night, everybody. Yeah.
Did you shoot anything interesting? Did you
save
anything?
The last 8 minutes that we talked about? I talked about zip lining into the lake.
Yes.
I talked about the super cool light. A little bit.
You did.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
And other than that, no, nothing interesting.
Nothing at the pool? Did you wish you had an underwater camera?
No, I didn't. I didn't really shoot many pool pictures. It's interesting that you asked about the pool. To me, you know, I did take a couple, but then I just feel like, all right, the kids are splashing, having fun in the pool, but it's not that unique anymore to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The lake, to me, that's different. It's a cool setting. And again, that's why I wish it was more clear so you could see all the coolness that goes with a unique backdrop with mountains and a lake and, you know, seeing all the homes off in the distance and the way the beach bleeds into the lake. All that to me really gets me excited about photography versus, I don't know, pool just doesn't really float my boat. So I had lots of chances to do it, and I just thought, yeah, I think I did shoot maybe 5 pictures. My son jumping off of the side of the pool, catching a football in midair, or, you know, that's his thing. Like, you talk about what Sam likes to do in the pool and the flips and all of that stuff, and Jack likes to basically catch anything jumping into the pool. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there was a few shots of that, and he usually catches it. So you try to make him lay out, and now he gets fancy, he gets cocky after he's caught a few in a row. He'll try to, you know, do a 360 and then catch it or whatever it might be. So yeah, I did manage to capture a few of those. I haven't again looked at any of these photos yet, but there'll be a couple of Jack jumping in the pool shots.
That's plenty. You don't need much more than that.
There you go.
Although just a bunch of people floating around, that's not, ironically, not going to float your boat.
Yeah, I did get, I don't know if they sell these on Amazon or not, but I got caught in one of these moments where, you know, I'm at the gym doing cardio and, you know, they're all hooked into cable TV. So I'm watching I don't know, some commercial about a new floaty that we're, you know, well, by the time this airs, we've already gone and come back. We've made an annual trip to a Soyuz every year. And I'm watching this commercial about this floaty that, again, is very similar to the bounce like that we have, you know, that does that cool move where it kind of double folds into a circle and pops out and it's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this floaty is very much the same. It's called the Spring Float, and they're advertising it of, you guessed it, Canadian Tire sells these things, and it just, they show the person pop it open. You blow in a tiny little sort of perimeter of air around the outside in a little pillow, and you just float on this thing, and then when you're done with it, it curls back up into basically a little bit smaller than the double fold big bounce reflector, and it goes into this little sleeve. And I thought, oh man, these are all the things I like. I like floating, mm-hmm. and I also like
flipping this thing open.
I like flipping this thing open, and I like small storage, and this has all the things that I want. And mm-hmm. so I went to Canadian Tire, bought two of these, and we did bring one of them up to our friend's place, and I float around the pool. Greatest thing ever. So the spring float.
Is it like on the one side, they should make it silver so you could A, use it as a bounce board if you wanted,
yeah.
and B, your tan would be buff.
But the best part is here's my thing about floaties, and this is not photography related, but I don't like being on a floaty that sort of sits more on top of the water. This thing is awesome because your head stays above water and your body sits just beneath the surface, so that mm-hmm. you, it's just the perfect combination of being in the water and comfortable all wrapped into one.
That's the key, because I'm very much anti-floaty for that reason. I just think, well, you have a chair on the side of the pool. Why don't you sit in that?
Yeah.
But if you want to sort of lounge and you know, and typically it's like, all right, I'm going to take six pool noodles and kind of, you know, place them all around my body. And then you can float. You can achieve exactly what you're describing. But it sounds like somebody just solved the Rubik's Cube of floaties.
It is awesome. And it was a little bit pricey, like for something like this at Canadian Tire. I want to say it was like $35, which sounds
probably
like
the most expensive thing at Canadian Tire.
Which sounds like a king's ransom when you're talking about floaty. I bought two of them because I'm like, I'm not sharing this thing when we go to the lake with my wife. She will have her own, and they spend a lot of time at the pool in the summer. My wife, my kids. My wife, being an ex-lifeguard, just, again, is all about all things swimming. So they've swam almost every day this summer at one pool or another, and my wife has been absolutely enjoying the heck out of this spring float. It's by Swimways, just if anyone cares if it exists in the U.S. or not.
We are bad at the sponsorship. We give out the ads, but we don't get the sponsorship.
Yeah, we don't get the sponsorship, but I do. That's why you can take this recommendation with how it's intended, which is my legitimate feelings. This
floaty
is
amazing. Yes, but I would
like
these recommendations to feed my kids.
Well, maybe they sell it on Amazon. Haven't checked. I needed it right now, and now I mean that second that I saw the commercial, I went that day and I got it only because I
Googled. Stopping at Canadian Tire on the way home. Man. Yeah. I miss that. I don't miss that. I don't miss that at all. Because there's no German tire. That would be a thing.
So, German anyways, tire. I don't know how
it's
I got
the same,
on
it's just way bossier.
Yeah. There you go. Good.
All right.
So nothing interesting.
Yeah. I shot a wedding. Now a few weeks ago. But I saved it. Saved it for this episode. Typical German wedding in that the church was better for developing photos than taking them. Very, very dark, even though they have the stained glass and all that. But typically, they've built all the churches here out of stone, and they don't paint them. Not all of them, but most of them aren't white inside. I say most. Some of them. The ones I'm in typically aren't white. They're sort of that stone color, so it makes it even darker.
Okay.
And so I went and spoke to the priest ahead of time. Probably the coolest priest I've ever dealt with photographically for a church, because you know, I said hey, you know, I'm assuming I can just go ahead and assume it's a no flash ceremony, because that's no you know, very 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 rarely does the priest open with, hey, hopefully you have multiple flashes, just fire them all off, go nuts. That never happens. It's always, hey, no pictures at all, or if you know, if you do, no flash, right?
Right.
Well, he said he actually reluctantly allowed me. He said, you can, yeah, okay, you know, I'd rather you don't, but I understand.
Okay.
And I said, you know what? It's very dark in there anyway. There's nothing to bounce the flash off. The only thing I could do is use direct flash, on-camera flash, and I don't want to do that.
Right.
So I said, I'll tell you what. We'll go with no flash. It'll be fine. There's enough light getting in that I have two full-frame cameras. I'm not using the zoom lens inside. That you cannot do. Because at an f4 with the 70 to 200, I'm going to come in at around like 1/30th of a second.
Right.
At ISO 1600. And that is no good on any lens, let alone at 200 mils. No point.
Right.
However, if I'm using, you know, on the 5D Mark II, I've got the 85-1/8, and I'm shooting at 1/8, which is now giving me a shutter speed of in and around probably 1/250th of a second I can still get away with.
Okay.
In certain areas of the church. And then I'm not going to shoot the whole thing at 85 mil, so I put the 50mm 1.4 on the 5D Classic, and similar kind of thing. At f1.4, I'm getting it around, you know, 1/250th, roughly, maybe okay. A little bit faster. And so I can end up shooting that one at around 1.8 or a f2 and still get a decent, still get a good shutter speed and get everything in focus. And so that's what I ended up doing.
So it helps to have that that fast glass, is what you're saying.
Doesn't help. You absolutely, positively need it in this situation.
Yeah.
And the one downside, of course, being that you know you'd rather only have one camera. You don't want to have two cameras hanging off you. But in this case, that's just kind of how it goes, you know. And then it also it's no fun because you have to kind of juggle settings. You know, when you're in the church, it's not so bad. Because all you're going to do is adjust shutter speed. You know, you're leaving ISO and f-stop as it is, and then just, you know, juggling the shutter speed as you go. When you get outside and you're still shooting like that, which I did, you know, the clouds blowing in and out a little bit, it can be a lot of numbers going on. The bride had a huge, long list of group photos that she wanted.
Oh, that's awesome.
I hate the group photos. Because, first of all, there's not much you can do artistically. Like, you want to go out there and you want to just deliver some amazing shots, right? Every time you do any job ever, like, you want to over-deliver. And when you're doing group shots at a wedding, there's only so much that you can do. Basically, like, you have to deliver just your basic shot. That is success. Like, you're not going to reinvent the wheel here.
Right.
And there's just way too many variables. And so, you know, what do you use for the background? Well, I found a nice, as we talked about last week, open shade, you know, a big enough open shade to fit the whole group in, but then the background becomes like just sort of this generic, you know, trees, like nothing, like doesn't really say much of anything.
Right.
However, we had enough cloud cover kind of, you know, coming in and out that I could then use the church as a background. Not the whole church, but a section of it, so that, you know, like you would tie it into the day, so you'd know, oh, that was the church we got married in, and here is the group in front of that church. Except for, why can't people just stand there and look at the camera?
Yeah, I know.
I had one guy when I'm shooting, in the group photo, he was also a photographer, in that he owned a camera.
Right.
And so he's at the back. I'm about to snap the photo, and I look, and I see him. He's sort of turned his back, and he's shooting a photo the other direction. Like, he's shooting something in behind. I'm trying to take his picture. And he's shooting a photo. I was like, do you think maybe we could just snap this? What do you think? Can we do this? And then, so I'm snapping. I snap, you know how the order you do these things in, you shoot. My thing is I shoot the big, giant group photo first so that we can get rid of as many people as we can.
Yeah,
shoot these people out, not for their sake, just because I want them out of my hair.
Right.
And so we do that. We set it up. Now, I'm shooting all the group photos are in the exact same spot. I'm not doing a company move. We're not doing any of that. You know, not a ton of variety for the bride and groom, but it's, you know, it's academic at this point. We're trying to get all the different combinations that she wants. If they all have the same background, they all have the same background. You know, we're allowed 45 minutes for this whole thing, so let's just get this done. So people are in the shot, and I tell them, all right, we're done with you guys. Want you make yourself scarce. So they wander off and hang around in the background of the shot. Like, clearly, like, it wasn't like there was some confusion of where we were shooting. It was basically they just turned and walked and went and stood by the church. I said, you can see me. You can see the camera lens. What are you doing? So, and so then the bridesmaid there who was running the show, she actually brought a bullhorn with her to run this show, which I was very appreciative of. And so she, over the bullhorn, said, hey, yeah, we can see you, go on mosey. And they did for a couple of minutes and then just came on right back.
Awesome.
So it was about four times she had to tell people to get out of the background. That did never, ever changed. So that was awesome. But for the most part, it worked out great because we had enough combination of open shade and cloud cover that we could get a nice even exposure without blowing anything out. And I brought an assistant along. I hired a guy from my baseball team to come out and just basically be an assistant to bounce light and carry bags and stuff like that. But because of the cloud cover, there really was no light to bounce. It just, you know, wasn't making a dent at all, especially on a group shot.
Right.
And so he was a voice activated light stand. I put brought out one of my Nikon SBAE, what are they?
28s, yeah.
And I think it was essentially on half power, threw a half CTO on there and just kind of held it off, had him hold it, you know, up and off the side and sort of add just a little flicker of fill light just to kind of get in their faces, which worked out great and made it for nice. The half CTO was perfect color-wise, nice and warm, and made for decent group shots. All right.
Okay.
That was the wedding. Other than that, pretty unremarkable. Just your standard wedding.
Okay.
Photo challenge this week was, it was your idea, special light.
Yeah, special light.
Based on, again, the forest fires.
Forest fires and the resulting cool, soft, diffused, red, pinkish light that you get roughly anywhere from 2 hours before sunset right up until that sun goes down.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's not a thing that happens, you know, all the time or all year round, but when it can happen without forest fires. Like, you can get this kind of crazy, you know, pink light or just amazing light, really. That's atypical. But it sounds like you're getting it an awful lot.
Yes.
Where you are right now.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
So the good news is you can take advantage of it. So tell us what's going on here in your shot.
So this is one of the girls that friends of ours, kids. And so she had just kind of got all dressed up. They just finished at the pool. This is literally standing right beside the pool. And the light's coming in. It's hitting her. And I just said, oh, do you mind if you stay right there, if I can just take your picture? And, you know, there's some planters in behind her, so with some nice flowers. And I thought, perfect. This is it. I don't want to have to move this child too far or I'm going to lose it. Again, I'm not going to lose it. I'm going to lose the moment. I'm going to lose the shot. And the cooperation level is going to go down if this takes more than 13 seconds. So this was perfect. You know, we stand here. I'm going to take your photo. That's it. She's maybe 3 feet from those planters. So shot on a pretty wide open aperture. I think, I don't know, I'm going to say f2.8 or more open than that, something in that range. Mm-hmm. And so this is, I tried to make it as true a representation of what the colors look like. It was probably realistically even more red than this, but I wanted it to in my mind. I mean, I'm trying to remember this a couple of days later as to what it looked like at this time. This was not the most red. It gets more red. This is still, I'm going to say, maybe 6 o'clock. So this is on the earlier side of that red pinky light. But I also wanted the colors of the planters in the background to make sense. So this is dialed in at, I'm going to say, somewhere around 4,800 Kelvin, because even at 5,000, it starts to look not real. It starts to look more like red alien beings than actual light that would exist in real life. So in my mind, this is a pretty close representation to the way the color looked to me. So
even though in reality it you know, it is very, very red.
Yeah.
It's one of those things you have to dial back just because it's like it's too on the nose. It's too much.
It just doesn't look right. Yeah.
Right. You know, and we know what we're used to, and so if you can bring in a little bit in, and which you do here, you know, it definitely doesn't look like your normal evening light. It looks like, you know, you took painstaking steps to light this.
Yes, because it's just the softness is just so great, right? Like that's the thing, is you to get this light under normal circumstances, it's going to be much more harsh, and you're going to see much more distinct shadows, and you get just again this perfect sort of soft light that seems like it's somehow contrived with a studio setup. But and even the background, you know, as I'm looking at it, looks like, you know, it could have been pulled down in the studio. In which case, I promise you it was not. But just the right, to me, background that made sense with what she was wearing, what the light looked like. I thought any other background, because, again, I could just choose trees or something else in the background. But little girl, the flowers, it just all kind of worked for me. And it was right there. It was right beside where she was standing. And I wanted to work quickly. So there you have it.
The big takeaway is do yourself a favor and recognize these situations and put yourself in them.
Yeah.
You know, don't, like, there's so much effort goes into, you know, okay, I have to recreate this or I have to shoot this at noon. And really, if you just put yourself in this position at, you know, just towards sunset, again, extraordinary circumstances, but if you recognize it and just grab your camera, you can shoot and shoot and shoot and get 25 great photos in the span of, you know, 3 minutes, and put your camera down for the day, do that.
Yeah, what I said to our friends and friends' parents, because, you know, they knew that I was into photography, and, you know, I was arriving with my camera bag and two camera bodies, was that I basically said up front, I'm really not going to take my camera out or shoot anything until the evening, because I'd already recognized for the week leading up to it what was happening basically every night. And so I said, well, just wait in the evening. I will take photos, because at that point it's just going to be great. Like, it won't even matter whatever we shoot, you know, whatever the kids are doing at that point is just going to be great light. But I'm not even going to bother to try to take photos earlier than that, because they won't measure up to what's going to happen in the evening. And so we did that. So that was kind of the routine, other than going to the lake, which case we went in the morning, and I had no other choice.
Just different set of pictures.
That's all. And again, I really, really like this, but it's a rare situation that I would not bother attempting to recreate in a studio setting. Just, it's not going to happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
And going to my photo, so this now, just to clarify, because we are, you know, shooting, recording a bunch of these all at once, and then late last night you threw a monkey wrench into my proceedings.
Yeah.
And said, let's do special light, and so I went and shot this last night of my daughter doing some coloring.
Yeah, with the new printer.
That's right.
You took my advice and you turned that printer into an endless coloring book. And so she's coloring a butterfly that I'm sure you said, hey, I'll print you whatever you want. The world is your, or the internet is your coloring book oyster. And she said, butterfly, daddy.
I think that's what it was. And you can see the card in the background has butterflies on it. It's a theme. Her favorite movie, Papillon.
Sure.
Steve McQueen. No?
Well, I've heard of it. I've never actually seen it.
It's about prison, so probably not her favorite movie.
Does he have a butterfly tattoo?
Yes.
Okay.
That's his nickname, Papillon.
Okay.
It means butterfly.
I knew that. It means in French, Schmetterling. In French,
Schmetterling in German.
Okay.
What a terrible name for a butterfly.
Yeah.
Die Schmetterling. Let that sink in for a little bit.
Okay.
If you say it with a bad accent, it just sounds terrible. Even though it is Die Schmetterling, if you say it as Das, it sounds even worse.
So
Das Schmetterling.
Tell us about the special light, because I really do like the image. So is this window light? I know it's probably meant to look like window light, but it probably isn't.
Yeah, no,
this
didn't exist in nature. This doesn't happen. But I knew you were doing that special light thing, and I thought, all right, I guess I now am going to go and create some special light.
Okay.
So this is 100% lit. There's this does not exist. This wasn't the sunset. Even when the sun does set, and she does get really beautiful light coming into her room, just not at this angle at this hour.
Okay.
And so this is her new desk that she got for school, so she was coloring. I was supposed to be coloring with her, and I said, okay, I'm just going to quickly light a special light image and grab one of those. And so it's 5D Classic with a 50mm lens on it and lit by one light, one of the Nikon SB28s, which I put outside on the balcony, and shooting it through the patio door.
Okay.
Like the window.
And this is... I just want to point out that this is a move that you've talked about on a number of occasions, and I'm wondering if you didn't originally get that idea from the Heisler book, because he talked about specifically doing that with a picture of Hugh Grant in that probably, I don't know what it is, one of the 15th picture in that book.
Is this in the coffee shop?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So I thought, I wonder if that's where you picked that up. And again,
probably not.
It's a pretty hot move for just making window light pop, I guess, a little bit more.
Yeah. So this is all hard light. I think the one you're talking about, he probably shot big soft light to recreate actual
window light,
what we would call window light.
Yeah.
This is more like the sun, the setting sun coming in through the window. So I threw a full CTO on the full powered bare SB28.
Okay.
And put it out. Now the patio isn't huge. I would try to back this thing up as far as I could, but I can't get too far back. And basically what I did was I fired it in through the window, but I cut half of it. I basically aimed it so that half the light was going to hit the wall outside and half was going to come blasting through. Probably could have just shot it directly through and gone on half power, but I kind of wanted I wanted to shape the light. I didn't want it to be just light pouring in. I wanted it to be kind of shaped somehow. And so what I ended up having to do, because I don't have curtains, I've put up a curtain rod for her, but I haven't made her actual curtains on that window yet. And so I took her blanket from her bed and hung that over to then again cut down the amount of light coming through, so it's more of a shaft of light. And then further, it was just like in the first couple of shots was great, but the map of Canada was getting so much light and just blowing out. And so I then took the roll shutters and rolled them halfway down, which was perfect. It acted as sort of to flag off the light coming on the top, so that was instead of spilling out onto her whole desk, I can now flag it off. So it's just that one shaft coming across where you see it coming across.
Right.
And the last little bit that was missing. Now this is on daylight balance, so that the full CTO will kind of appear along the lines of what you were talking about, that sort of really orangey glow. And then the last little bit that was missing was her face was just a little too much in shadow. And so I went in the bathroom, got the little hand mirror, the little, you know, the concave one that you use to zoom in on your blemishes.
Okay, sure.
And, well, not my blemishes because obviously crystal clear skin, but anyway, so I basically flipped it around, put it on her desk just out of frame. So that the light coming from camera right is going to come across and light it. A little bit's going to hit that mirror and sort of bounce up in her face.
Okay.
And that's how we end up doing this. It's not something I'm going to do very often because, you know, normally these are situations I look for.
Right.
Rather than create. But just putting your flash outside and shooting it in, you can get some really, really cool effects.
Okay, great.
And she was a sport. This actually looks, you know, she just basically kept coloring. This wasn't the posed shot that I know you hate.
Right. I do like this photo.
All right. I think I would like to have maybe dressed her desk a little bit better.
No, I like it.
No? Set deck was okay?
Yep.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's the special light, which I'll probably do something similar in different windows around the house coming up.
Great.
Okay. Next week's challenge is our monthly challenge. That's the Great Outdoors. Put them up on Instagram, hashtag them Two Hosers Monthly Challenge, and we'll take a look and likely talk about them on the show next week.
Yeah, let's post them. Let's have them. And anybody who still thinking about book recommendations who hasn't emailed us by this point, still taking emails and book recommendations,
yes.
Not just for the show purposes, me personally. So, yeah, if you got any books that you think are life-changing from a photography standpoint, please send us an email.
And tell us why you like them.
Yeah.
Yep, email or on the Facebook or whatever. I'm sure we'll find it.
Great.
There you go.
I keep saying websites. Great.
Great. It's all great.
Website is adamschwartz.ca.
AdamSchwartzGreat.ca.
Yeah.
Check it out. That'd be great if that was a site. You can find my stuff at AlanAtridge.com, the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can find the links, the photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.